Now, back to the Eric Stewart Show.
Welcome back. Stuart Rosenthal joins me, as always. Stuart, good morning.
Good morning, Eric.
Yeah, so the Beacon newspaper is a free publication, and you're really, that's so generous of you to give it out like that. 1,500 locations around Washington, D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. It's a publication really for those 50 and over, although I find information in there relevant to everybody. So, hey, you can be younger. There's no, you know, you can be over 100, right, and still pick up a copy.
That's right. Right? If you're younger, you want to get prepared, and if you're older, you want to know what you need to know right now.
Or realize what you missed. Right. Okay.
Perhaps.
So the Beacon newspaper, great publication, lots of fun, useful information. And each week we bring a Beacon, a bit of the Beacon. We call it Beacon Bits. Tell us what we got.
Well, let's talk about some money stories today. All right. Talk about things that you might have missed, you know, the chance at. You don't want to miss the chance at some of these money things because they change all the time. And when it's a good time for something, it's something you should be aware of. So right now people are having a hard time on fixed incomes and investments because interest rates are so low. They've been kept low for so long. It's very hard to get a reasonable return on your money through a money market or even through a bond of any sort. Mm-hmm. So we have two sets of stories in this issue on preferred stocks and dividend stocks mm-hmm. that offer relatively high ongoing regular returns, much better than you get in a bond, although, of course, there are other, the fact that they're stocks, there's other risks involved. So we try to cover all that ground.
That's great. It's good to, you know, it's great to have that coverage in a newspaper that's approachable for everybody. Thank you.
Yeah. So what we're doing in these stories is we're talking about, you know, explaining what preferred stocks are. They really are something in between a stock and a bond in a way because they trade on the exchanges like a stock, and of course the prices can go up and down somewhat, but they give regular fixed payments generally every quarter. And they're all generally sold at a rate of $25 per share. That's sort of the standard price for a preferred share. Now, it may be higher or lower than that somewhat because it's the interest rate that it's paying, that, you know, what it's paying you on your stock mm-hmm. compared to the regular market would make it worth either more or less than $25. But the things to keep in mind about these stocks are that they can be called. Generally, they have a call date. And when they're called, they're going to be called at $25 a share. Mm-hmm. So if you pay $27 a share for something and, you know, it can be called shortly at $25 a share, you're going to lose $2 a share mm-hmm. When that date comes, probably. Mm-hmm. So you want to keep all those things in mind. There are a few things to be aware of. And the article describes those kinds of things. But we also talk about a number of preferred stocks that are offering, I mean, 6, 7% or more on a quarterly basis, paying you your regular check. And that is so much higher than you can get in most investments today that it's worth a look.
Okay, good, good. Read about it in the Beacon newspaper. Got anything else on money?
Well, yeah, well, I talked about dividend stocks. So dividend, we have cute stories on that one. We list four companies whose stock has paid rising dividends every year for at least 50 years. They have never missed a year of raising their dividend, and that's pretty astounding when you think about it. Mm-hmm. They include Johnson & Johnson. 2.6% is the current yield on 54 years of increased dividend hikes. Lowe's Companies, which yields 1.7%, 3M, which yields 2.5%, and Procter & Gamble, which also is a pretty good stock in that respect. So, and then finally, we have a story about what are the stocks that Warren Buffett invests in, and if you want to know what the genius of stock investing is buying right now, you can read that in the Beacon this month, too.
Fascinating. Read all about it in the Beacon newspaper. And we'll have you back in a couple of weeks next week as well with more from the Beacon. And you could tell us about travel, I'm sure, and some health and some other good stuff.
Great. Look forward to it.
Thanks, Stuart. Talk to you soon.
Thank you so much, Eric.
All right. Jumping back into timing the market, you know, there are three basic levers in selling your house. There's timing. Okay, and there's condition, and there's pricing. The property that I mentioned earlier, the one that's on the market on Gingrich, had been on the market with another broker. The other broker had taken the property to the market at a price that was not justifiable based upon the current trends in the marketplace, the timing of the market, and although the sellers had gotten two appraisals on the property, one that justified close to what they were asking and one that justified a price that was much lower. What wasn't considered in the pricing was what is the market like, not just in the microcosm of the street and that little neighborhood where the property is, but also in general Accokeek? You have a house that's in a neighborhood. You have a house that's in a neighborhood, which is then a part of a larger area around you. If you look at just your neighborhood and what your neighbor's house has sold for, you can draw a pricing valuation that may be perfectly correct. But it may require, and I always do this, it may require further consideration of what's around you because, like the house on Gingrich, the location of the property is unique. It's a fantastic spot within the Piscataway Creek bed area, and it has a particularly nice draw to it compared to some of the other locations there off Piscataway. So it has upside because of that, but it also has competition from single-family houses that are within a mile or 2 miles of the property that offer a host of other kinds of amenities, neighborhood-type amenities that Gingrich does not offer. So as a homeowner, maybe that's not important to you that you have tennis courts and a pool for the community and maintenance requirements and that kind of thing, or covenants and so on. And really, that's what we want for the Gingrich property, something that somebody doesn't really care, and they don't really want to have someone telling them what to do to maintain their property or be in a situation where they are sharing all of the amenities. But the majority of purchasers want that. The majority of purchasers will pay up, and then there's also the value proposition of having multiple properties right around your house that are exactly like yours, which Gingrich is unusual. It's unique. It's what I called a curiosity to the owners. I said, this is a curiosity. This house, this is unusual to have. Now, I've been told that having a boathouse in your house is not that unusual, but I don't see a lot of that down in Accokeek. Maybe there is more of it than I know of, but what I loved was the seller creating this railroad ramp with pulley systems so that he can drop his boat in, pull his boat out when he wants to go out and wants to come back in. It makes it very easy. So he's got a curiosity. He's got an indoor pool. He's got a widow's peak on the top. He's got location that is fantastic, beautiful views. The house sits on the southern shore, so you're looking to the north and you can watch the sunsets on the trees in the forest on the other side. It's right next to a reserve and a historical area. It's important that you bring any property to the market with consideration of the microcosm that it's in and the macrocosm. The overall tide that lifts and drops all the boats may drive the entire market higher like it did back between 2002 and 2007, and then dropped it like a rock in 2007, 2008, 2009. As the market has recovered, if you study your neighborhood, study what's around it, it'll help to give you historical perspective, neighborhood perspective, and then you look at amenity perspective. When I look at a neighborhood, I look at the micro perspective for that neighborhood. I look at the macro perspective and the historical perspective of a general area. I'm looking for the rise and fall. I'm looking at the supply and demand. And I'm also looking at amenities because the value proposition is there based upon the quality of the amenities. So let's discuss Gingrich in just a moment as an example. This is a house, very, very well-built home, built to withstand incredible force winds. And what were the amenity choices that the seller made that give you an option? Let's say you were interested in a home like this and you wanted to make renovations to a house and not have to pay for what somebody else has done. Gingrich is a great example of that. So we'll discuss Gingrich when I get back. Before I do, let me just mention the seminar one more time that's coming this week, the 13th, here in North Bethesda at the Hilton Hotel, multiple times both that day and on the 25th in Tyson's Corner. If you want to register, go to ericstewartgroup.com or call us at 800-900-5377. Quick time out here, more to come. Don't go away.